joining your voices and worshiping the Lord with us. Would you have a seat? And we're going to get started here with another part of our worship, which is hearing and responding to the Word of God. This is one of the ways that we worship Him, is by hearing His Word and responding to it as the voice of our shepherd, saying, the one who spoke those words, the ones whose words those are, he is my shepherd, and I will respond. He's the one who saved me. So let's do that together. We're in John. Why don't you open up your Bibles, if you got them, to the Gospel of John. There's also handed out in those sheets there. And we're going to be reading John chapter 5. Now, a little bit of background here. We are in the middle of this a series on the Gospel of John. And what we've noticed so far is that Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. God fully revealed himself in God the Son. So there's the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God the Father determined that the fullness of all three of them would be revealed in the flesh, become a human, and he would accomplish salvation as a human for everybody to see. He'd do it in the flesh with skin and bones and a heart and lungs and blood, and he would do it in a way that could be witnessed. And so the book of John is one of four in the Bible that actually are eyewitness testimony of the life of God in the flesh. You can watch, as we read these things, God has provided these things so that we could read them and so we could watch them. We could see what they saw by reading these things. We could see God himself accomplish what we couldn't do. We could see God bear the burden of salvation completely for us so that we could rest in who he is and what he deserves. He did this to accomplish salvation. The Gospel of John is eyewitness testimony. And so by hearing it, we can witness what they witness. And if he says, if we believe in what we witness as we are reading this, if we believe, then we are granted eternal life. And not simply eternal life that goes on and on forever, but eternal life that goes on and on forever, enjoying being a son or a daughter of God. Enjoying what only Jesus deserves. We will enjoy what he deserves for eternity if we believe what God says about Jesus, what he did in those 33 years of human life. Since we can eternally enjoy what Christ deserves because he on the cross suffered what we deserved, and conquered death in our place when he rose from the dead on the third day. So a little bit of context last week. So we're in the chapter 5, and right before this passage that we're going to read today, we have an interaction with Jesus and a man who's paralyzed, and we have the Jewish leaders. And Jesus heals this man on the Sabbath, terrible thing to do. He tells this guy to pick up and carry his mat on the Sabbath. Terrible thing to do. And the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, are like, you're breaking the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on Saturday. And Jesus is like, you know that God is always working on the Sabbath, right? To carry the universe. Yeah, me too. And they're furious because they realize what he's saying is he's making himself equal with God. He's making himself, calling himself God the Son, he's making himself equal with God the Father. And this is something they were terribly upset about. But the good news that we saw last week is that Jesus, being God, is able to carry the weight of salvation of the helpless. That we were so helpless, we needed a Savior who actually was God. And so we're just in the middle of this. Jesus has just answered this question to them, like, why are you healing people on the Sabbath? Why you shouldn't be doing this? And so we'll just pick it up, and we're going to look at verse 19. Jesus had just said that he keeps working on the Sabbath. He's not running a business on the Sabbath. He's actually carrying the world and saving people, rescuing people on the Sabbath, because he's God, and God, we need God to be working on the Sabbath. So Jesus continues. He says this, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, he's talking about himself, the Son of God, God the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these, he just healed that guy from paralysis, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son, whoever does not honor Jesus, whoever does not honor Jesus, the Son, does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. The first thing I want us to see here, I think it's crystal clear, it'll get even clearer as we go on, is that everything that God the Father does, he has done through, by, and for God the Son. Everything he has done, everything God the Father has ever done, he has done through and for the Son. You don't want to, I'll just show you this in the book of John. John chapter 1, 1 to 3. I'm just going to read this. In the beginning was the Word. This is Jesus. It's a nickname for Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. If you got your Bible, you can follow along or you can just listen in. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read 15 to 20. Just making this point. Everything that God the Father did, he did through and for the Son. Talking about Jesus, Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn, that means the highest place, the ruler of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Everything, the universe, humankind was created so that God the Father could glorify the Son. Why did you exist? So that God the Father could glorify his Son. When he was making the world, he made the world through Christ and for Christ. He's making a stage for which to glorify his Son. He created people. Why? So that people could glorify his Son with him. He's creating people that would need to be saved. Why? So that his Son could be the Savior of those people. He wants his Son to be glorified. And it gets really glorious when you consider the gospel. Now turn to Philippians chapter 2. I'm excited if you haven't already realized this. Philippians chapter 2, we're talking about how God the Father has done everything for the purpose of glorifying God the Son. That's all he's about. I'm going to glorify my Son. I love him, and I'm going to glorify him. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, and it doesn't, I remember talking with my kids a couple of weeks ago. They're like, well, if God the Father loved God the Son, why would he not just go to the cross instead of sending his Son? Good point. Good point. Why? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, something that he would actually hold on tightly to, but let it go. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God the Father says, I'm going to be glorified through my Son being glorified. The name above all names is what the Father wanted to give to the Son. God the Father wanted his Son, Jesus, to have the name above all names. And what is the name above all names? What is the name above all names? The title. He wanted him to be honored as the one who willingly left the glory of heaven, being equal with God the Father, to suffer in the place of sinners. He wanted him to have that name. The Father commanded the Son to the cross. He went to the cross, it says in John 3:16. The Father sent the Son. But the Father commanded the Son to the cross because of his desire to give the Son the name above all names. The glory that would only come through the cross. He wanted Jesus to be worshipped as the one and adored for eternity for dying for sinners. God the Father was setting up a situation like today that we would sing those songs about Jesus. Oh, the mercy, the glory, the love that you would give your life for me. He wanted people to eternity being singing those songs about Jesus. God the Father is all about everything glorifying his Son. He's in charge. The Son submits to him. But what does he do with that authority over the Son? He uses that to govern things and command things so that his Son would get the name above every name. God the Father's commitment to the glory of his Son is so great that he says, if someone does not honor the Son, he does not honor the Father. What does it mean to honor the Son? Well, it would mean to see Jesus as valuable as the Father sees him. To honor the Son is to agree with what the Father has said about him. The life of Jesus is God the Father's speech about God the Son. He says, Jesus said, everything I've done, God the Father, he showed me this and he told me to do all this. So he's obeying the Father's commands. So you could say that the life of Jesus is the Father's speech about his Son. And as we hear the words about what he did, Jesus did in his human life, 33 years, we need to recognize and agree with what the Father has said about his Son. Through that life, through his words and deeds and miracles and promises and crucifixion and resurrection, the words Jesus said, the actions he did, the miracles he did, it was God the Father speaking about God the Son. On the cross, bearing the damnation of sinners, the resurrection of dead on the third day, all of it, it's God the Father saying, look at my Son. Look at him. Isn't he amazing? I want you to see how glorious he is. Everything he's done is for that. I want people to eternally, with real joy overflowing in their hearts, I want them to cry out, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and blessing. I want them to say that about my Son. So I created the world, and I created people in my image who could know me and who could do right and wrong, so that they could do that, they could say that, and they could enjoy my Son the way I enjoy him. And so everything Jesus did, everything he said, every miracle, every breath he took, every act of obedience, his death and his resurrection, all of it is God the Father's speaking about his Son. Jesus said, I did nothing that the Father did not tell me to do. This is all his plan. This is what I'm doing, what he told me to do. This is his speech in action. And so by the life of Jesus, he's saying this, you look at my Son. And then consider how much I loved you that I would send him to you. Honor me by honoring my Son. Believe what I am saying about my Son. Agree with me about what I am saying about my Son. Treasure him the way I treasure him. And be rescued from receiving what you deserve. Because I gave him what you deserve on the cross so that he could be honored as the one who is damned for sinners. Everything God the Father has done is through and for his Son, Jesus. Second, God the Son, Jesus, does everything in submission to God the Father. We don't have three gods. We don't have three independent gods. We have one God in three persons. We don't have three independent gods, and neither do we have three persons in God that are all the same person. They're not all the same. We have one God, three persons, and they're all different. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's no competition. There's an order to it. And the order gives God more glory than there would be if there wasn't this order of submission. It shows God to be even more glorious. He gets to see, show even more of his glory and even more of his character by being this way. So even though there is three persons, three different persons, one God, three different persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, the Son's will matches the Father's will perfectly. John 3:16, we have that God the Father sent the Son to bear the wrath of God for the sins of the church, and the Son obeyed. It was the Son's will to obey. The Son obeyed because he wanted what the Father wanted. But it's even richer than that. He did it because of a desire to submit to his Father. And so the miracles that Jesus did was God the Father honoring Jesus. It was not Jesus honoring himself. Then we go on and we see that life and judgment from God are fully in Jesus. Life and judgment from God are fully in Jesus. Part of his commitment to honor him. It was the Father's decision to fully reveal all of God, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. It was the Father's decision to fully reveal himself in God the Son, all in the Son. God the Father has also determined that all judgment comes through the Son. You, he says to the Son, are the judge of everything. Everything. You're the judge. The Son doesn't set himself up as the judge of everything, but he is, because the Father sets him up that way. God the Father has determined that all eternal life comes only through the Son. The Son, Jesus, doesn't set himself up as the source of eternal life. The Father does. Just to sum up these first two points. God, the Father, sends the Son because of his love for sinners and his desire to glorify the Son. And the Son went because of his love for sinners and his desire to submit to the Father. We have a gospel so glorious that the one who reigns over all things does it as an act of submission. Everything that the Father does is by and through the Son to glorify him. And everything the Son does is in submission to God the Father. Let's continue on. Verse 26. Sorry, 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. That's his code word for Messiah. He's the one who takes the wrath of God for the sin of the world. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So here we see that Jesus, first thing I want to see here is that Jesus is the voice of God. In the man Jesus, God was fully known. John 1:18, let's go there quick. John 1 verse 18 says this: no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The man Jesus, God was fully known. In Hebrews chapter 1, he says the very same thing. I just want to read that. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read that. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, after taking the punishment for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is the word of God. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit fully reveal themselves in the life and action and words of Christ in the flesh. that he's fully revealed in the human life of the eternal Son of God. So Jesus is the message. So I'm not, hear what I'm saying, I'm not saying that just what Jesus said is God speaking. That's true. But it's even more than that. The life of Jesus was God's speech to us. His life was God's speech. His words were God's speech. His actions was God's voice. His miracles was God's voice speaking to us. He was God's voice. So Jesus, we see, is the voice of God. And the second thing is that the gospel is the voice of God. What's the gospel? The gospel is the testimony of who Jesus is and what he did to save us during his earthly human life. That's the gospel. The gospel is everything Jesus is and all that he did to accomplish our salvation during his human life of 33 years. Now, that's a very short form. We're going to go eternally, go more and more and deeper and deeper and richer and richer and richer. But that really is what the gospel is. Who is Jesus and what did he do to save us? And that is the voice of God. The gospel is the voice of God. Believing the gospel is to hear the voice of God and be raised to life. Look at verse 24 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Believing in the gospel is to hear the voice of God and be raised from the dead. When we hear the word of Christ, who he was and what he accomplished, and believe the word of Christ, it's the same as believing in him. Because he is the message. When we hear the word of Christ, when we hear the gospel, it's as if we're hearing the voice of Christ. The life of Jesus, the person of Jesus, was the voice of God. And the word about Christ in the Bible is the voice of God. It's given, the gospel's given, it is spoken that we would hear it and hear it as the voice of God and believe and be made alive. And so if you have heard the gospel and believed, you have heard the voice of God and you are made alive. Else you wouldn't hear it. Else you wouldn't believe it. Else you wouldn't agree with God the Father about what he says about God the Son. And you see, I didn't hear a voice. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the gospel. But I didn't hear a voice. And through this passage, God is saying, the gospel is his voice that makes people alive. People hear it and are raised to life. You've already passed. If you have heard the gospel and believe in Jesus and you agree with what the Father says about him, then you are alive. And it was the voice of God that made you alive. And if you responded to the gospel, it's only by the miraculous power of the voice of God, which is the gospel, that was God's Holy Spirit miraculously making a dead woman alive or a dead man alive. And so if you have heard the gospel and have had ears to hear it and believe it, and what God says in this book through the life of Jesus and on and on and on, if what you hear about what God the Father says about Jesus and you agree and you say, yeah, he is, as the Father says, he is that treasure. I love him. I treasure him. I believe, I trust in him, then you are alive. You've been made alive. And you can rejoice because you are alive in the Son. He says a couple of things that are almost the same. If you notice, a couple of times he says in verse 25 and in 28, he says something like, an hour is coming. We'll just read verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So notice there's a difference between the two. At first he says, the hour, an hour is coming and is now here, where you hear the voice of the Son of God, the Word of God, the Gospel. Now the great miracle is that those who are dead in their sin can be made alive by hearing the Gospel. The Gospel is the voice of God. It's the voice of the Son of God. And if you believe it, it's because God made you alive by this voice, the Gospel, which is God's speech about His Son. So you've been made alive by hearing the voice of God, which is the Gospel. But then he said, another hour is coming. Dot, dot, dot. He does not say, and is now here. Look at that. Verse 25, he says, and is now here. Verse 28, he says, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Another hour is coming and is not now here. There will be another time when the voice goes, the voice of God constantly goes out. Whenever the gospel is preached, it's God speaking about his Son. And it's constantly happening. It was happening when Jesus was alive, and it's still happening now. But there will come a day when that voice will be finished. And this is when the Son of God will come again. The first time he didn't come to judge, though all judgment had been given to him. The first time he came to bring life to those who are already under condemnation. But the Son of God will come a second time. This time, the word he brings is both life and judgment. He will bring life and judgment, both given to him by the Father. He's doing both in obedience to the Father. God the Father will glorify his Son by giving eternal life through his voice. But God the Father will also give judgment through the voice of Jesus and glorify him that way. When Christ returns, God the Father has determined that at his voice, everyone will be raised. Those in the grave who did not believe in him, those in the grave who did, will all, when Jesus speaks, when he comes the second time, everyone will be raised. Why? Because the Father wants to glorify the Son, and they will all be raised at the voice of Jesus. Some will be raised to the resurrection of eternal life, and some to the resurrection of judgment. The Father will glorify the Son, either by his salvation of sinners or by his judgment of sinners. He will glorify his Son. We just finished going through a whole bunch of scripture talking about how he is so committed to glorifying his Son. It will happen. And he will either be glorified by his salvation of sinners or by his judgment of sinners. The Son will be glorified by the Son, by the Father. And it is his, so the God the Father, it's true of every person in this room, God the Father will either glorify Christ through your salvation or through your judgment. And it is his desire and invitation that he glorify Christ by your salvation. If you would hear his voice, hear the gospel about who his Son is and what his Son has done, and believe and agree with him and trust in his Son. But either way, he will be glorified by you. It says, those who have done good to eternal life and those who have done evil. And you might be thinking, and you'd be well to do this, thinking everybody has done evil. And here we're reminded that rejecting Christ is not the reason why people are condemned. Remember in John chapter 3, verse 16, we looked at that. Jesus didn't come into the world just to bring condemnation and eternal life. He didn't come to condemn people. Oh, you didn't look at me, you didn't like me, so you're condemned. That's not why Jesus came into the world. John 3:16 says, and the rest of Scripture says, the world's already condemned. He came into a condemned world that was condemned because of their sin. And anybody who does not hear the voice of the gospel and believe doesn't become condemned, but he says remains condemned. And they will, and those who do trust in him will be rescued from getting what they deserve. Because if everybody would get what we deserve, all would be condemned. Before Jesus came, everybody stood condemned. All are sinners, and all, if we would get what we deserve, would receive condemnation. Those who trust in Christ because of his first coming, in what he accomplished by his first coming, will not face condemnation at his second coming. Although who trusted what the Father said of his Son in his first coming will not face condemnation at his second coming. Why? Look at verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Because already by his first coming, Jesus had already received all your punishment. All your judgment that you deserved, God the Father poured out on him. You've already passed from death to life. Your judgment's already taken place at the cross in Jesus. God the Father has given God the Son all the judgment, and God the Father has already given your, if you believe in him, God the Son, he's given him all your judgment. So God the Father has given the Son all judgment. God the Father said, I'm not judging anyone. That's for Jesus to do. I'm going to give that to him. God the Father will glorify God the Son, even through all judgment, through the voice of the Son. Now, this message of the Father's desire to glorify the Son and his commitment to glorify the Son through either the salvation or judgment of people is tremendously bad news for our pride. Because our proud, sinful nature wants to be the center of the universe. It screams out, make it about me. God should not be about God's glory. He should be about me. And it slashes at my human pride and my desire to be the center of the universe. But the reality, it is not about us. It is about Christ. It is about God's Son. God the Father's priority is that Christ, God the Son, would be glorified. And he will stop at nothing to make sure that that happens. That's why the universe revolves. That's what everything revolves around, is the glory of God the Father glorifying God the Son. Because of God's desire and commitment to glorify God. Science can explain how things work, but at the end, they cannot explain why they work. Because the explanation, why is it that there's something and not nothing? Why do things work? Why, when you look into these incredibly powerful microscopes, do you see more and more complex structures? And why, when you look into incredibly powerful telescopes, you see more and more constellations and more galaxies? Why is it that you see this? They can explain what it is, but they cannot say why it is there. And we have the answer here. Because God the Father will glorify God the Son. The Father's desire to glorify the Son in giving all life and judgment to him. And it also revolves around the Son's desire to glorify the Son, the Father, by submitting to him. And so while this is terrible, terrible news for our pride, it is tremendously good news for our joy. And we've said a number of times here that the gospel offers at its core a choice between pride and joy, not both. It is tremendously good news for our joy because we get caught up in God the Father's desire to glorify the Son. We get caught up in that. We're swept up in God's full-on, powerful, sovereign commitment to glorify his Son. And we're also caught up in the Son's desire to submit to the Father. We just get caught up in that. We hear it and we believe it and we get caught up in it. We get to enjoy it. And we, by humbling ourselves to the Father's plan to glorify the Son, by hearing what the Father has spoken by his Son, we are made alive. And we are welcome to forever delight in the glory that the Father has given to his Son. If you are to be welcomed into heaven, into eternal life, You will be told, enter into the joy of the Master. Not into your joy that you deserve, that's worthy of you. You get to enjoy joy worthy of God the Son. This is tremendously good news. It is very good news that this revolves around the Father's desire to glorify the Son and the Son's desire to honor and submit to the Son, because it is a sure glory and it is a great glory. Explain those two things. Because our flesh wants a different kind of glory, something that revolves around us. But it is a lesser glory. This is a better glory because it is sure glory and it is great glory. It's good news because it's secured by two infinitely sure things. Your eternal life and your eternal joy is secured by two eternally, infinitely secure things. Two things that cannot be broken and will not be broken. It is good news because our salvation is secured by the Father's desire to glorify the Son and the Son's desire to obey the Father. This is good news because it's infinitely sure glory. But this is also good news because there could be no greater glory for us to enjoy. What could be greater glory? What could be greater joy than the glory that God the Father wants to give to God the Son? What could be better than that? What could be greater? This is good news because it's infinitely great glory. And so you may be thinking, I heard now. I've heard this. My ears have heard it and I believe it. What should I do? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that eternal life and judgment are only in Him. I believe that. I've heard what the Father says about the Son, that He is the Son and that eternal life and judgment are both from Him. I believe that He died in the place of sinners, taking my punishment, and rose from the dead on the third day. And I believe that God the Father will either honor Him through Him bearing my judgment on the cross, or God the Father will honor Him through Him giving me my judgment on the last day. You say, I hear that and I believe it. Now stop and marvel at that as a miracle. Because that is coming from death to life. You've heard the voice of God and been made alive by hearing the voice of God. You say, I hear that and believe. What should I do? What now should I do? In Acts chapter 2, there was a very similar sermon that was preached by Peter, talking about God the Father's desire to glorify the Son and what happened, and He was crucified and He rose from the dead, and the people who heard it said that they were cut to the heart and they believed. And they said, what should we do? Because we've heard this and we've been made, we believe it. And the response was, repent and be baptized. That's what people who've come alive by faith in the gospel do. People who've come alive, who've heard the voice of God, who've heard the gospel and believe. So what should you do if you believe this? You live alive. Don't walk in deadness anymore. Walk alive. Live alive. Don't live in deadness. You're not dead if you believe the gospel. Turn from deadness and sin. Turn from that. Repent and live alive and rejoice that you are alive by faith in Christ. You've heard the voice of God, which is the gospel, and you've been made alive. You've taken hold of eternal life by faith. See a few ways that this really can impact us. For those who have been made alive, who have believed, the way we can respond to this and how this can affect us is that since it pleases the Father to honor the Son by giving life through the word of His Son, we got to lean on that commitment. See, God is committed, God the Father is committed to honoring Christ. How? How does God the Father honor Christ now for those who believe? By us hearing his word and him keeping the promise to make that alive in us, to create faith in us. That's his promise to the Son. And so we've got to take advantage of that promise he made to the Son by getting into the word of God, hearing it. On your own, study it. You read this, you're hearing the word of God. And it is given to create faith and create life in you. And that's his commitment to the Son. So take advantage of his commitment to the Son. So hear it on your own and do it in with your family and do it in small groups that are not your family, but you're treating as your family. And come on Sundays, which is Resurrection Day, which is a day that was created by God, set aside year after year, week after week, to be a sign, sort of a symbol of what happened when we heard the gospel and believed. We were made alive. And it's also a sign pointing forward to that last day, the last day when the voice of Jesus will come and he will gather people who believe. He will gather his people, come alive. That's what we do on Sundays. That's what we're doing to hear the word of God. We gather that way. So take advantage of that. Speak the word of God to your family, to your children. Because that and only that will make them alive. And you cannot do it too much. It is what gives life and faith. It is what, if they believe it, will save their lives. Only the voice of God, the word of God, can make people alive. So do this with your family, do this with yourself, do this with your kids, do this with your church, and do this with your friends. Tell them what the Father says about the Son. Your co-workers, tell them what the Father says about the Son. And if they believe, they will be made alive. This also helps us in temptation. Temptation, when everything in me is telling me that doing this or having that would be worth it. But trust in the Word of God. The Word of God has made me alive to realize that Christ is infinitely more worthy of my joy and affection than this sin. The Word of God says, turn from that and resist that. And if I have eternal life, I've been made alive to the Word of God and I respond to the Word of God. The Word of God moves me. It changes me because I've been made alive to the voice of God, to the Word of God. And so in temptation, I can say no to sin because the Word of God makes me alive. This also helps us in suffering. And God has honored this church by placing people who are going through suffering in this church. That is an honor that he has bestowed on this church. And so in suffering, you could say, oh, this is painful. But knowing Jesus, having him, is even more desirable than being without suffering. I agree with what the Father says about the Son. He is precious and an infinite treasure, even more than being without suffering. He is worthy. I agree with what the Father says about the Son. He is worthy of my praise, even in suffering. And knowing how worthy and glorious Jesus is, and knowing that my eternity will be proportionate to how worthy Jesus is, makes these sufferings, even though terrible, become dwarfed. You think about what the Father has said about the Son. That's the man that your eternity will be based on, how glorious he is. And it makes the suffering become dwarfed. And you can say this from your soul, that Christ is precious, even in suffering. You can say this in your soul only if you've been made alive by the gospel, which is the voice of God. It's the only way you can say that with your soul, Christ is precious, in the middle of suffering. Only if you have been made alive by the gospel, by the voice of God. And that's why the disciples of Jesus could say when they suffered that it was a joy. Because in suffering, it becomes clearer whether you've been made alive to agree with the Father, to see the infinite worth of the Son, or whether you don't. It shows and it proves you have been made alive by the gospel. So if today, he says a day is coming and is now here. And so if today you hear the word of Christ, the gospel, and believe, no matter what happens with your job or your health or your family or your life or with ISIS, with Russia, no matter what happens, because of God the Father's commitment to glorify God the Son, your body will be raised up to the resurrection of life. You'll be raised up to forever enjoy an infinite, sure glory, secured by the Father's desire to glorify the Son, and secured by the Son's desire to submit to the Father. And what could be more secure than that? He secured the resurrection of those who believe when he raised Jesus from the dead. What could be more sure than that? And what could be more glorious than the glory, than sharing in the glory that God the Father would give God the Son? Let's pray. Father, your word has gone out again today in the classrooms here to our children, and even the teachers, as they're speaking it, it's being spoken to them. They're hearing your voice about your Son. And today in this room, you have spoken about your Son. You've spoken these words to us, Lord, and we hear what you say, that all eternal life has been given in him and all judgment has been given in him. And Lord, we know that it is only your word about your Son, which is the voice of Jesus, which is your voice. It is only the word of Christ that can make people alive. And Lord, it is only your Holy Spirit that can do that. And so, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that all who are here who are not yet alive in Christ would be made alive by his word and brought into eternal life to enjoy what Jesus deserves, what you, the glory you will give Jesus, to share in that. And Lord, I pray that you would transform us and that we would share your desire for Christ to be glorified, so that we would proclaim your word about your Son, which is the gospel. That we would proclaim this to our children and to our neighbors and to our families and to our coworkers, Lord. And I pray that you would even move some of us to leave this country, to go where Christ's name has not been named. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, there would be people who would just agree with you and glorify your Son along with you by speaking the gospel of your Son. And Lord, I pray that you would cause that to bear fruit, and I pray that you'd keep filling more and more this church and all the other churches, the godly gospel churches in this church, in this city. I pray that you would fill them with people who are being made alive by the word of the gospel, the word of your Son. It is your voice. Thank you for speaking it to us and making us alive. And I pray that you would do this in Jesus' name.